Right, because if we do the math, there's 12 animals. The ox, and the rat. You guys are secret friends. And next, we have the dog and the rabbit. The dog and the rabbit are secret friends. Then, it's the monkey and the snake. The monkey and the snake are secret friends. And we know how to work with that intentionally this year because it's the year of the fire monkey. And every time we have the year of one of the animals, it's in its compass direction of the southwest. This is also has a sign that's across from it. And the sign across from the monkey is the tiger sign. And so what in Feng Shui, they want to take care of those arrows of antagonism. They don't want a straight line like that. It's unlucky in the ancient text. Now, in modern day world, we have evolved, and so it's a lot friendlier, and we have a lot more fun with it. But in Feng Shui, to really, really take care of that, what they would call arrow, we would want to put the snake with tiger this year. And why? Because the snake is a secret friend of the monkey. And if we as tigers have the snake with us or some such image, then we could draw the friendliness instead of the antagonism. And do you see how that works? Yes, of course. Which would you rather have? Well, if we could practice Feng Shui and we're feeling such, especially if you were a tiger sign, then you would want to get some sort of representation of snake and keep it with you until the Feng Shui year switches next, either January or February. And then we would, next year we're going into rooster. But right now, for months and months and months, we are in monkey. So that's one way to practice Feng Shui. And another pair, we have three more pairs to go, of secret friends are the boar and the tiger. And so, for instance, the tiger, again, since it is across from the animal and the god of the year, can lean on the secret friend, the boar, for luck and support, right? And then another pairing is the rooster and the dragon. So rooster and dragon, your secret friends. And the last pairing we have is the sheep and the horse. So sheep and horse, you guys are buddies, your secret friends. And another way, when they say, well, what does that mean then? And so let's say you're the ox or rat pairing, our first pairing. What you could do is you could get an image of your secret friend or some such representation. And remember, the rat can also be a mouse. And the rat and the mouse, for instance, live in the north. So for representation of this, you could get something blue because that represents water. Water is in the north location as well. So if you did not want the exact animal, you could get something that represented the direction of the north, which is that animal's element, which is water. Or the colors, black and blue, represent water. And remember, aquas and a lot of purples have the iridescent. Anything iridescent can be flowing water. And so if you, for instance, were a ox and your secret friend was the rat or the mouse, you could use that element of water or the color of water or an image of the ox, and you would put it in your animal direction to help you out. And so your animal direction, you rats and mice, your animal direction is the north, and you ox, your animal direction is the northeast. So then you guys can work out that math from there, okay? And it's really fun. When you think you need a boost of extra support, images of your triangle affinities and especially your secret friend in your corner or behind you. And that means in your animal direction. in your house. I'm talking about in your house. We're talking about feng shui, where we practice putting our intentions using the five elements and the 12 animals. It's super fun. If you're interested in fine-tuning some of this for yourself, please contact Pathfinder and I for a feng shui consultation. It is super fun. And you can contact us by emailing pathfinder1111@gmail.com. And we would have just a fun, fun time marching you around your house with you or airwaves. And it's time for our feng shui fit tip of the day. Our feng shui fit tip today is shoes. Proper exercise shoe attire. We must address our shoes from the ground up, because we walk with our feet, most of us, right? We need that proper lateral support. And depending on the sport that we want to do athletically, or whatever dynamic athleticism we have in mind, proper attire for our feet is really crucial. And I worked with Nike for a long, long time, and we were put through lots of drills to do with our tennis shoes. Okay, so you get your tennis shoe in your hand. Now, if you have the toe of the shoe in one hand and then you have the heel of the shoe in the other hand in front of you, you should not be able to bend that shoe in half and touch the heel to the toe. They should not be that flexible unless they're for yoga or something like that. If you need them for any type of sport, then that means that shoe arch support is gone. It is broken down. And so who's taking that arch support is your arch. Okay, and so the arch support in your shoe is for that, to support your arches. And so this is how we know when the arch support is broken down. And that's almost the single most important thing about your shoes is the arch support. A lot of times, if you take out the piece of fabric that comes inside the shoe and you can remove it sometimes and it goes under your foot, you can get a better arch support replacement insert for those, even in the grocery store, with the original shoes. So think about that. If you need more arch support and your shoes are feeling broken down, get that new pair of shoes so that you have your arch support side insert that comes with it. Go get one from the store that is going to be extra better for you and your body. And let's get our athleticism going from the ground up. And that's your feng shui fit tip of the day. And next we have the continuation with Pathfinder and our plant allies. I love this. Thank you, Pathfinder.
Thank you, Michiko. That was great. We love our secret friends. We love our animal friends and allies, and then our secret friends as well. So today we're continuing our discussion on the origin of medicine and disease from a Cherokee story. Very ancient Cherokee story that was recorded by James Mooney, an ethnologist from the Smithsonian, that put together a couple really good books, the Cherokee and some other tribes. And this is really important because the medical concepts of each tribe and nation across the planet has value unto itself. Just like each and every one of the plants in the world has a usefulness to heal. And so when we look at the diversity of understanding, this is part of the rich heritage of the human race. In the old days, quadrupeds, four-leggeds, birds, fishes, and insects could all talk. And they and the human race lived together in peace and friendship. We discussed this particular line a little bit last time, but let's look at the part of that all these relatives of the, I'm going to say the Wamakashka, which is a Lakota word, And this is basically the animal nations plus some others, that we lived in peace and friendship with them. And this is our natural state. We actually, it's the purpose of Creator and the Mother Earth that we should be in a good relationship with all of our relatives. And this includes the four-leggeds, the birds, the fishes, and even the insects. Can you imagine that? So they were talking to the insects. Well, there's some insects that are pretty cool, like the praying mantis and whatnot, and like the little beetle and all those. But then there's some insects that are kind of strange, too. But we're supposed to live together in peace and friendship with them as well. Hey, mosquito, huh? Right. But as time went on, the people increased so rapidly that their settlements spread over the whole earth, and the poor animals found themselves beginning to be cramped for room. Well, let's think about this for a second. So this is talking about in an ancient time when there began to be an overpopulation and, let's say, urban sprawl or the sprawl of settlements to the point where it was impinging on the natural world, so much so that the animals started to feel it. Now, for the animals to begin to feel this means that there was alterations in the water cycle, that there was too much use of the trees and maybe even the plants, and in general, a non-harmonious, that the humans were being non-harmonious, and they were just multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. I learned from our good friend David Little Elk through his Malakota radio show that's on Blog Talk Radio as well, that in traditional society, the Lakota would have maybe two or three kids, and they would space them out and then educate them well for the world, you know, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And so this was really the model. And so this idea of having eight or nine or more kids and having a big old tribe for your patriarchy, this is not being in balance with the earth. In fact, for most of earth existence, we have been matrifocal, which means that the family surrounds the woman. The family's interest, the nation's interest, has to do with the mothers and their children. And this is just a real natural thing. And so if we look at today, this is exactly what's going on again. We have an overpopulation and people are spreading out into the animals' territories. It's just like when nighttime comes, that belongs to the Wamakashka. That belongs to the animal nations and other nighttime nations, and we're not supposed to interfere with them. They're part of the balance of life. Well, in this case, it's like all those people that moved into Malibu and those canyons north of L.A., and then all of a sudden, oh, there's a mountain lion crisis. Oh, it's eating Toto, my dog. Oh, it's scaring my kid. Well, who moved into the mountain lion's territory? We need to be mindful of this, because if we categorically dismiss the rights of the animal nations, the Mother Earth and other original powers will bring due karma. Okay, going back. This was bad enough, but to add to their misfortunes, man invented bows, knives, blowguns, spears, and hooks, and began to slaughter the larger animals, birds, and fishes for the sake of their flesh or their skins, while the smaller creatures, such as the frogs and worms, were crushed and trodden upon without mercy out of pure carelessness or contempt. And so there's a law in nature, and these animal nations are in the right here. They, if this were taken to the court of Mother Earth, or even as some see the Creator in heaven, the animals would win this case, and the humans would have to be taught a lesson. And this is something that we're facing in these days, is that, yes, a lot of people are doing pretty well to prevent animal cruelty for pets, and some are working to prevent animal cruelty for the animals that are raised to be eaten. And then there are some that even, you know, for the rights of the wild animal. But we need to be very mindful of this, because we're all related to one another. And as the deforestation is occurring on the planet, and even these giant sperm whales are washing up on Germany's northern shore, because they've ingested too much plastic, which is completely been dumped into the sea. In truth, we're going to have to do something really, really major to protect the other animals. Because where is the cure for cancer? It's probably in a frog or a plant down in the Amazon. In other words, where there are extremely diverse niches for animal life and plant life, and the minerals of the Mother Earth, this is where our cures are. This is what helps us to overcome our own difficulties that manifested because of our own personal karma. Okay, well, let's move on. Let's learn to pay attention to the ants. If we're out on a walk, let's pay attention to not step on the ants. Let's pay attention to not change the environment so much that the birds or the ground squirrel or these others are displaced. And when we find one of our relatives, the bird or whoever, out there laying dead because their life cycle is done, let's bury them. Let's offer sage, or let's offer some tobacco and pray for them, because there are relatives. In this state of affairs, the animals resolve to consult upon measures for their common safety. And so here we get a council of the animals coming together. The bears were the first to meet in council in their townhouse in the Mulberry Place, and the old white chief the old white bear chief presided. After each bear in turn had made complaint against the way in which man killed their friends, devoured their flesh, or used their skins for his own adornment, it was unanimously decided to begin war at once against the human race. Now, there are giveaway nations, and very soon in this story, the Deer Nation talks about the requirements that they have as being one of the giveaway nations. The Deer Nation, the Buffalo Nation, the Antelope Nation, the Fish Nation, the Turkey Nation, the Chicken Nation, these are all giveaway nations. They have decided within themselves to give their bodies for our sustenance, to give their skins for our clothing. But the rule is that we take what we need, and we do so thankfully and prayerfully. In other words, isn't it time that the grandma cow gets to be with her grandbaby, and they don't just get separated off because they're considered to be produce or meat on the hoof for later? So we need to learn to be kind to our relatives in life, and then when they give themselves, should we need the sustenance. And these animals are completely okay with giving of themselves, just like when we pass, should that day come, we are to give our bodies back to the earth, back the life cycle. So one bear asked what weapons man used to accomplish their destruction. Bows and arrows, of course, cried all the bears in chorus. And what are they made of, was the next question. The bow of wood and the string of our own entrails, replied one of the bears. It was then proposed that they make a bow and some arrows and see if they could not turn man's weapons against himself. So one bear got a nice piece of locust wood and another sacrificed himself for the good of the rest in order to furnish a piece of his entrails for the string. But when everything was ready and the first bear stepped up to make trial to shoot, it was found that in letting the arrow fly after drawing back the bow, his long claws caught the string and spoiled the shot. This was annoying, but another suggested that he could overcome the difficulty by cutting his claws, which was done. And on a second trial, it was found the arrow went straight to the mark. But here the chief, the old white bear, interposed and said that it was necessary that they should have their long claws so that they could climb the trees. One of us has already died to furnish the bowstring, and if we now all cut off our claws, we shall all have to starve together. It is better to trust to the teeth and claws which nature has given us, for it is evident that man's weapons were not intended for us. Now, when we talk about stewardship of the earth and of the gift of hands, the opposable thumb, the ability to walk upright, the ability to think and to craft our tools, it's nature and amongst ourselves of two-legged. Let us use our tools for the benefit of all. Let us take only that which we need, and let us give back through prayer and service. We'll continue this discussion on the origin of medicine and disease next week, and we give thanks to the Bear Nation, who is one of our closest relatives. We give thanks for wisdom in our lives and for peace among all our relatives.
Mahalo, Pathfinder. I love the bears, too. And if you or a beloved are looking for more intensive recovery for detox, TBI, pain management, addiction, and 12-step help, please visit purerecoveryca.com and get help with Aloha. And we close Aloha Healers Network with the 5 Reiki principles. Today, I let go of anger. Today, I let go of worry. Today, I'm thankful and give thanks for my many blessings. Today, I'm kind with honor and respect to all living beings. I do my work honestly.
Watch it, I will. Why, I'm here, oh,